I will take you with me. You might learn something.
About soccer?
Nah, mate. Not about soccer. And for fuck's sake, stop saying soccer!
This April, an unlikely press release made headlines in Major League Soccer, as well as Austrian soccer-related media. Los Angeles FC, reigning MLS champion, 9 years old, noted that they had, quote, officially received approval to invest with the Austrian club FC Wacker Innsbruck. That's the living legend that the song we just heard speaks of. That's Wacker's official club anthem. Benny Tran, one of Los Angeles FC's vice presidents, went to Innsbruck and described Wacker as having a, quote, 110-year-old history and legendary fans, and he promised to return the club to top-level winning football. He also promised Wacker's fans and members, who own the majority of the club and will continue to, that their name and badge and colors would remain untouched. The story sounds strange enough for an MLS club, period, but it becomes even stranger if we know that, right now, Wacker plays in Austria's fourth tier. It's a totally regional league. And for all its illustrious past, including championships and cup titles, Wacker's last decades have been marked by more downs and ups and bankruptcies that technically actually don't make the club 110 years old, and a total of 3 failed attempts to revive its fortunes with supposedly rich investors on board. But the legendary fans part, that is certainly true, that Benny Tran spoke of. Innsbruck does have the oldest and one of the most loyal, active fan cultures in Austria, and probably wouldn't exist at all anymore were it not for its most important stakeholders, its fan members. So how does an MLS team from a very different soccer culture fit in here? And how to explain this very beloved, but also very chaotic fourth tier club from the Alps to American soccer fans? For 1 hour, Christian Hummer, a lifelong active Wacker fan, a sports psychologist in Innsbruck, and one of the editors of Wacker's only fan-run media, sat down with me to attempt some answers to these questions after also sketching the club's turbulent story up to this point and what led to this. I'm still not sure what to make of this partnership, but the fact that it exists is kind of a reason of being for this podcast, right? It's an effort of cultural translations in matters of football culture between Europe and the US and the English-speaking world more generally. Do contact me on Twitter or Facebook if you have opinions, suggestions, and complaints too. I will be in England and Sweden, by the way, at the end of May. And besides watching West Ham's last home game in the Bobby Moore lower stand of the London Stadium, if you also stand there, say hi. I will also record 3 interviews while I'm there, all very much off the beaten soccer path. If you want to add to my workload while there and have a suggestion, let me know as well, and I'll consider it. I won't ask you to give stars or positive reviews on the podcast platforms of your choice because, well, my listeners apparently just don't do that. I'll just state the obvious that it's a pretty niche product here, well off the usual English-speaking soccer coverage, and its visibility is really greatly helped by you finding some way to share what you've listened to. All right, we go to Innsbruck now, in the Austrian state of Tyrol, in the heart of the Alps, the city with many shady soccer investors. Welcome, Chris Hummer, the visiting professor for today on the topic of who in the world is Wacker Innsbruck, the new partner of Los Angeles FC. Before we get to the story of this interesting partnership and the history of your club and what led to this moment in its turbulent story, let's get to you a little bit. What's your fan biography? How did you come to Wacker, and what are you doing right now for Wacker?
So thank you very much. Thank you for having me. At first, I hope my English is good enough for your audience. And if not, please help me out. So like a lot of guys in my generation, my first contact with FC Wacker Innsbruck was on the hand, or with the hand, with my father, and a visit of the stadium, so-called Tivoli. I was 6 years old, and well, soon I got catched with what happens on the pitch, but also happens off the pitch, on the stands. I get really fast infected with the, well, let's say, Wacker Innsbruck virus.
Yeah, the Wacker fever.
Yeah, the Wacker fever, yeah. Let's call it this way. Okay, so, together with a bunch of friends, we are making a fanzine which covers Wacker Innsbruck. It's called Tivoli 12. Tivoli, like the stadium, and 12 for the fans, the 12 men.
The 12 so this would be men. An online fan-run magazine on all things Wacker. Is that right?
Yes, yep. That's right. That's exactly right, yeah.
Tivoli 12 AT, I assume, is not your main and full-time job. What do you do if you're not writing for Wacker?
Now, Tivoli 12.AT is just a hobby, but I'm in sports. I'm a sports psychologist. I'm a mental coach, if you will. So I am pretty near and big in sports.
You've been with Wacker through thick and thin over the last decades. What did it look like to attend a Wacker game back in the glory days? And what does it look like now?
Well, in the glory days, we are back. Innsbruck is one of the great so-called traditional clubs in Austria, and in the good old days. So my first contact was in the early 80s. Stadium was sold out frequently, played for the championships. So there was a lot of great experiences from the stands. It was colorful. It was really great. Innsbruck was one of the first places where the ultra
Ultra fan culture ultra style support, right?
Yeah, it came from Italy. So Italy is our neighbor. So it came to Innsbruck also. And there was, it was colorful and it was great. It was shouting. And we were one of the leading teams then in the late 80s and beginning 90s. And then later on in the late 90s, beginning 2000s. Well, and then really, really great troubles kicked in. Basically, financial problems.
Wacker is playing now in the fifth league in the Austrian league system. The stadium isn't full. You're not playing for championships. What does it look like to visit Wacker today? And what would the leaders of Los Angeles FC have seen when they visited Innsbruck these last weeks?
Well, it's still pretty amazing because we are in a league, as we were relegated this year. Because of bankruptcy of the holding with limited liability, where the professional team was outsorted, and now the rest of the club is in the not fifth but fourth league, and there we are in a league with an average of 200 or maybe 250 spectators. But if FC Wacker Innsbruck comes, well, there are in the last game there were 1,600. So it's pretty amazing. It's let's say it's fun for this season.
You probably wouldn't want to go be there forever in that league, but you're probably also seeing a lot of grounds and stadiums that you have never seen supporting Wacker Innsbruck.
I've never seen such small villages and such small grounds. But yeah, well, that's life.
Well, we'll find out how Wacker arrived at that kind of new life. You hit, you'll probably be aware, some of the English-speaking soccer headlines here over the last weeks because of the emergence of a surprising partnership, investment. We'll figure out how we're gonna call this. Media coverage announced a couple of weeks ago that Los Angeles FC, the reigning champion of the MLS, officially received approval to invest with the Austrian club FC Wacker Innsbruck from the FC Wacker Innsbruck board and association. Los Angeles FC vice president for corporate strategies quoted here. This is Benny Tran, who also visited you in Innsbruck. Is that this is an exciting moment for LAFC and FC Wacker Innsbruck. We're humbled and honored to invest in this club and work together on this long-term partnership. And then he quotes 110-year-old history and the significant fan base that makes Wacker Innsbruck one of the top addresses in Austrian football. And it shall be returned. The club shall be the top level winning football. Now, if the average English-speaking soccer-interested person we've looked up Wacker Innsbruck, you'll be pointed to a Wikipedia page that says that Wacker is actually founded in 2002, is not 110 years old, and that the glory days that you refer to in the 80s and 90s are also not technically part of its heritage. Plus, as we already outlined, it plays in the fourth league right now, so it's not exactly compatible with the reigning MLS champion at first sight. So what gives? Who is Wacker? What are these traditions that everybody speaks of? And why does Mr. Tran refer to 110 years of history?
Well, welcome to the, maybe most complicated and turbulent, but never boring history of FC Wacker Innsbruck. Well, the club was founded in 1913. And so, okay, we are 110 years old. It was the first club in the Western region of Austria, who was able to get to the nowadays so-called Bundesliga in 1964. And pretty soon, the club got very, very erfolgreich.
Very successful, yeah.
Successful, very successful in the 1970s. Five-time cup holders, five-time championship winners. And then the club was in the S Cup holder in 1979, as reigning cup holder in 1979. It was relegated to the second league. In the early 80s, promoted to the first league again. And then the first really, really, really big change happened. Because I think it's also known in the US, there's a great company in our neighborhood from Wattens. It's called the Swarovski Group.
Swarovski, it's crystals, jewelry, that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah. And they went in and they changed completely all the characteristics of the club. They changed the colors. So our club is black and green, but they changed the colors to blue and white. They changed the name to FC Swarovski Tirol.
So not Tirol, not Innsbruck anymore, but Tirol, which is the name of the state, not of the city. The traditional name has always been just the city, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's always been the city's name, but they changed it to the name of the federal state. So in the early 1986 was it, so Swarovski kicked in, and so suddenly the name was gone, the colors were gone, and also the coat of arms were gone.
So according to your biography earlier, this is already when you're starting to go to the stadium. Did fans protest at all? Or is back in the 80s, I mean, success is everything, this is the new way, and people not bothered by changing both the colors and the name?
Exactly. People don't bother a lot about this as success is all. And success was it really. It really brought success. There were pretty much star players from Germany and from Argentina. So they were pretty successful. They became two-time champions in the league, one cup title as well.
Der neue Mann.
And then there was a pretty special game in Madrid against Real Madrid. And, well, they lost 9-0. FC Swarovski Tirol lost 9-0 in Madrid. And the Spanish players and the Spanish club was pretty, let's say, überrascht.
They were surprised?
They were surprised
at how bad Tirol was?
No, how offensive Tirol played. So this was pretty awesome. And Swarovski was not so happy with it and decided, no, that's not the way that we want to be presented. And they went.
So this was there wasn't the Champions League back then. This would have been a predecessor of the Champions League. So the Champions Cup.
The Champions Cup, yeah.
So exactly. Swarovski went and all their money as well.
Exactly.
So was it back to original colors, green and black again, FC Wacker Innsbruck?
Yes, it was.
Or did things change again?
No, it was exactly like you mentioned. We went back, the colors came back, the name came back, but only for 1 year because it was pretty hard to gain enough money, enough sponsors. And so the director's board was pretty convinced that we have to go back to the name FC Tirol, because then all will be much better and everyone will spend money. So blah, blah, blah. But this went for 5 years pretty good. In the late 90s, after quite a long time with no chance of a championship, where Sturm Graz were pretty big. In the late 90s and beginning 2000s, the so-called FC Tirol was pretty good. And
could we say the full name of the club? Champion. Because it's not just FC Tirol. There's a sponsor name in there that's particularly fascinating. Do we want to say that?
Oh,
for Americans,
FC Tirol Milch Innsbruck.
Yeah, so there's
was
milk,
the real name.
Milk in the name. It's a.
Yeah,
it's a partly company, public. It's a dairy company, right?
Yes,
it's a dairy from
yes. Yeah. It was a dairy company in these days. Yeah.
Very good. So success eventually comes.
Yeah, success really happens, and then the year 2002. And the Austrian Bundesliga, some years ago, one or 2 years before, they invented the so-called Lizenzierung, a license. They give a license to you can get it, or you have to get it to can play in the Bundesliga. So with financially and infrastructural basics, but FC Tirol failed to get this license, and so with no license, there followed bankruptcy.
Why did they fail to gain the license? I mean, the theory was, if you name yourself FC Tirol, sponsor millions will come in and you'll be flush with cash and successful. Why were you not flush with cash and were not admitted to play in the top league again? Because that's, in some way, this is where some of the succeeding problems start as well.
Well, you're absolutely right. But, reality strikes in, and it had nothing to do with the name. This was a really, really big mistake because, you lost pretty much of your heritage. You lost traditional and original name. It turned out it wasn't as successful as they hoped. Well, bankruptcy kicked in. So FC Wacker Innsbruck, or the FC Tirol, as it was gone. And, we had to start a new club. So this was in the year 2002. And in Austria, we have something that is called Spielgemeinschaft.
Maybe before we get there, just for technicality.
Okay.
So at the FC Tirol is basically the legal successor of Wacker Innsbruck at this point from 1913 onward. And I realize there's another detour in there. But that's what it is. And with bankruptcy, it's not just the holding company or the limited liability company goes. The club goes, right? The line is broken, so to speak.
The club is also gone. Yeah.
Okay.
So we had to rebuild or refound a new club, or re-established a new club. And well, the people wanted it to call it the original name, the FC Wacker Innsbruck. And normally you have to start in the minor leagues then. And to avoid this, that was a pretty good idea, because another club in the neighborhood, which is owned by Swarovski, played in the third division. So we teamed up and made a so-called Spielgemeinschaft. That's Spielgemeinschaft means there are two clubs join forces on the pitch and call it whatever they want. And well, the people here in Tyrol, well, let's say it in this way, the heart, the love and the passion goes with Wacker Innsbruck, but the money goes with Swarovski and Wattens. So they called it SPG, also Spielgemeinschaft Wacker, for Wacker Innsbruck. And Wattens didn't want to go with Innsbruck, so they forced the new club to get the name Tyrol. So it's SPG Wacker Innsbruck.
Now we should Wacker Tirol, just
sorry.
SPG Wacker Tyrol, correct?
Tyrol. Like
now, yes. If we'll add one more layer of complication, because if you look at the Bundesliga table in Austria right now, there is a team mm-hmm. from Tyrol in there, and it does have a W in the name, and W does not stand for Wacker. That is Wacker. No. So that is the club that was in the third league back then when you merged within this kind of sporting cooperation. They are now in the first league and you're down. So
yes, exactly.
The club that's up there and that calls itself Tyrol right now has nothing to do technically with the legacy of Wacker and FC Tyrol.
Yes, but they made the same mistakes as the people of FC Tyrol did. Yeah. Because this particular club you're mentioning was established in 1946, and it was for the workers, for the factory workers of the Swarovski group.
And now they call themselves Tyrol as well, in the hopes of
Tyrol, not Wattens, then Tyrol.
Well, back to your team. So there is the cooperation on the pitch. There's some Swarovski money in it, and you have to call yourselves Wacker Tyrol. What happens? Yes. Early 2000s?
The plan was to get the team back to the Bundesliga to hold this Spielgemeinschaft 2 or 3 years. Well, the Bundesliga had other plans. They don't want Spielgemeinschaften in the Bundesliga. So after the promotion to the second league, the clubs have to adopt the Spielgemeinschaft. This is pretty important. Because in Wattens, they felt a little betrayed. And some years later, we mentioned FC Tyrol. And in these times, the president was the CEO of Swarovski, and his daughter is now the president of VSG Tyrol.
Of Wattens, who felt betrayed back then, that you kind of used them to get back up and then had to leave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now she had a big goal, a big target. She wanted to maybe, let's say, destroy Wacker Innsbruck and be much more successful. So that's the story.
Right. She is successful now. She didn't destroy Wacker Innsbruck. So back then, I mean, early 2000s, you get back up second league. Pretty quickly, you're back to the Bundesliga as well.
Yes.
And do you remain Wacker Tyrol, or does the name change?
No, the fans and club members managed it in 2007 to rename it to the original name, to the left original name. And time has changed. So nobody wants Tyrol back in the name, and nobody will ever make the same mistakes like before.
How successful is the new Wacker in the 2000s, 2010s? What's that period of the club's history like?
In the early 2000s, as you mentioned, it took only 3 years to come from the third division in the first division back. But on the pitch, 2008, one was relegated to the second league. Then a few years later, 2010, there was a promotion in the first league. And so it went up and down till 2014. And there, another relegation in the second league. But the love gained, the love of the people gained. Wacker Innsbruck was pretty successful in getting more members, more fans. And well, it looked like that it will be fine. It would be fine. And in 2018, the club had a pretty historical season because we had the club had five teams in adult football, the first team, a second team, and a third team. The first team was the professional team. The second team was with an average of 18 years old boys. They were pretty successful. And the third team, with an average of 15 or 16 years old, they were also in the adult football. And the club had two other teams, two female teams, two women teams. They also were pretty successful. And in this year, 2018, five teams were promoted in the next league. So this was a big, big, big success here.
So all your five teams that are in adult football somewhere in the Austrian league system got promoted in the same year. I mean, it suggests a spectacularly successful club, but this is, 2018, that's shortly before the troubles start, right?
Yeah, maybe it's the start of the troubles, maybe. Because on the pitch, you were very, very successful, but off the pitch, less and less money. It was really, really hard. The first team just lasted 1 year in the Bundesliga and was relegated a year later. So very, very complicated. And Wacker Innsbruck was relegated and VSG Wattens was promoted. So a pretty bunch of sponsors changed the club. So the board of the club decided, we have to open us for investors.
All right, we have to explain this now because having an investor in a soccer club may be very, very common in other countries. It certainly is an investor plus ownership model in England. The U.S. has its own system of professional sports team ownership, which are in fact sports companies and not member-owned clubs. The system in Austria is quite different. Wacker is owned by its members. And even if there is a limited liability company where the sporting operation is outsourced to, even in those companies, the club needs to hold the majority so that the control remains.
50+1 rules.
Right. And we've had this before in this podcast. In Germany, it's a very similar arrangement here.
Yeah.
And for a club like Wacker, where the fans are the driving force to get the name back, to get the colors back, to get the club back up from third league, it's a pretty big deal to say, we can't do it by ourselves. We need an investor on board. How did club leaders pitch that and how did members respond?
Well, it was very, 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 very difficult for the board. It was the only way to go. And the members were not really convinced. We had the awful examples of investor-driven clubs. Yeah. So the members were not convinced, but they trusted their board.
Was there already somebody knocking at the door saying, here, I will give you a few millions, do something with it? Or was it just theory?
Not at first, but then they were looking for investors and they said they had 11 different opportunities and they chose the one who would be the best. So really, really a lot of promises were made. But we all had to see that, maybe in the world of the big money, there is not always, the people are not always honest. They're not so honest. Mm-hmm. So, well, it was a pretty backlash.
So who is the investor and how much of the club does the investor get, because it can't have been the majority, right? So what's the arrangement?
No, the arrangement back in this time, 49% of the holding with limited holding. So, well, this is the deal in Germany or the deal in Austria that you can make. But it didn't take long, and the investor had more and more demands and less money. So, but the contract terms weren't, also Investor hat sich nicht an den, an den, an den Vertrag gehalten.
Okay, so he was starting to move away from what actually was agreed upon in the first place. Who is the investor?
Yes, okay. Well, it was a German investor placed in Hamburg, but he's not so happy to hear his name or read his name in the media, and he sues everyone who will name his name.
Oh, so he's suing people. If you name, so we should not.
He's suing. Yeah,
should not name it. It is supposedly a wealthy merchant from Hamburg, which sounded pretty good at first, right? That's what I read in the media. A wealthy merchant or merchant's family from Hamburg.
A merchant's family, but it turned out that maybe he was not so honest with his legacy and his family. So. Well, yeah.
When and how did you find out? Like at some point, there must have been some euphoria. Saying, we have this investor in, there's new money, we're going to go back up again. And then things fizzle out and the guy seems to be a liar.
Well, money didn't come. Money didn't come. And you had to fulfill your budgets. But the money never came. So in 2020, 2021, next to COVID, this was a big, big problem. This was a big, big problem for the club. So, okay, what can the board do about it? Well, they had another great idea, which turned out not so great. But there was another investor in this time, it was a Russian guy who was pretty famous for saving troubled clubs. He did it before in Germany.
Wait, Karlsruhe. So the German guy is out completely and the Russian guy is in now? The German guy doesn't pay and in comes the Russian guy?
In comes the Russian guy to save the club that he can stay in the professional football. But this didn't turn good. Also,
what were the problems with the Russian money?
Well, some money came, but it again, not all, same mistake as before. Pretty the same mistake as before.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So, and then there comes a fourth part of this story. A man called Kevin Rady, which is a local, pretty young guy. In his mid-30s, came to the club and said, well, he had a good friend from Germany. He had a lot of business going on with him. And this German guy from the nearest Stuttgart would invest in the club. But he has to be, as Kevin has to be, the president of the club. Okay. And then... yeah, the money should come. But then the money never came. Never, never came. And so the season gone by, the club was in the second division and no money. So the Bundesliga couldn't get a license. And so the club went bankrupt. Or not the club, the holding bank went bankrupt.
So at this point, we're on three investors. None of them really comes through with the money they promised.
Yeah.
What are fans thinking at the, I mean, are you holding out hope that there may be a fourth investor who will save us? Or is the impulse to let's just crash this car and start again in a lower league? What are the, or well, let's the, found a new club or what's, what are, what did fans discuss amongst
no, them? People were very angry. Yeah. Were very, very angry and disappointed. The disappointment was enormous, you know. Each of us had the fear that the club is completely begun. You know, there's no club and no football anymore. So what can we do? What can we do? And because of the losing of the license, the club was relegated to the fourth league where we are now today. So the first thing to do was to find a new president. So one found a new president, and now he's working that the club can survive. And there comes maybe the big solution with LAFC.
So here we are. You've had three investors. Everything failed. And in comes the wealthy American, executive vice president of corporate strategy and development, and says, we are going to rebuild this. This is a quote from Benny Tran from Los Angeles FC. We're going to rebuild this team and return the club to top level winning football after the kind of history you have just told us.
Yeah.
Do you buy it? I mean, what's your first impulse when you hear people say such things about Wacker Innsbruck, no matter who says it? But what do such claims evoke?
Well, the first impulse was, why? What the hell? Why us?
Oh, well, yes. <Yeah.
laughs> How is this possible?
So, but you thought it was for real. I mean, LAFC is not. It's not nobody. It seemed more legit than the previous investors from the beginning.
Much more legit. You can Google everyone at LAFC. The vice president came and is visiting a game with the fans. You know, an ominous German guy who seems to be from Hamburg, but is sitting in Dubai or whatsoever.
Okay, real people are finally interested.
Real people, real people are interested, and they were looking for a club for a partnership, and there we go.
And the first question was why, which is a fair question. Fourth league Austrian team with a troubled history. What answer would you give to that question by now? I mean, you've heard from folks. The Benny Tran from LAFC has been in town. How do you think they're answering the why question, and how would you answer it from a Wacker perspective?
Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious. Benny Tran was really clear about it. He and his club are interested in the in the way of how players are developed in Europe, especially in Austria. So MLS teams have a big problem. You have a player and you can play in MLS, but if the MLS is too high, on a too high level, where do the players develop, in which league? And there we kick in. As I mentioned before, we had pretty successful youth teams. You know, two of them played in really young ages in adult football. And I think it's exactly this what LAFC is looking for.
So normally Americans who get interested in soccer always look to Europe. And at best, they see the MLS as a league where talents hopefully perform good enough to finally make it to Europe. You're thinking in this scenario, it's the other way around. So LA might be sending people to Austria or importing people from Austria for the next step in North America. Is that right?
Yeah, it's vice versa. Vice versa. Talent players from LAFC who are not so good to join the MLS team can come to Europe and can there develop and the other way around. So some Austrian players maybe one day play in the MLS. Who knows?
Still, it begs the question, why Wacker? I mean, there's plenty of European leagues and there are clubs that are less hard on their luck than you are. I don't know. Maybe that's partly what the deal is, right? It's relatively easy perhaps to get a foot in the door at Wacker. But why do you think they picked you rather than some other European club?
Well, maybe there plays a really big name in football a role. It's Bayern Munich.
Okay, explain. How is Bayern Munich now involved in this whole saga as well?
Well, LAFC has a cooperation in the youth development with FC Bayern Munich. And Innsbruck lies just 2 hours away from Munich. So maybe this is why LAFC has chosen us.
Has there been any previous contact between Wacker and FC Bayern to talk about potential cooperation? And how would your fans view the role of this kind of German giant?
Not officially.
Okay.
Not officially. But LAFC might go a similar way like Manchester City do it, actually.
Well, I was just wondering, right? City Football Group, New York City, Manchester City, the other cities across the world. There's one in Australia as well, et cetera. Is that what's on the horizon, you think? Between LA and Bayern?
Not LA and Bayern, but I think LA tries to get global, and maybe we are a part of it.
Okay, so I hear FC Swarovski Tirol again. I hear a change of colors. I hear a change of name. Mm-hmm. I hear becoming part of a global brand, right? Are you not afraid that would happen?
Well, not really. Why? Because Benny Tran said, well, we can have all our characteristics, we can have our patches, we can have our name, we can have our colors. So maybe we make the same mistake and trust another guy, but he seems faithful.
Okay. I mean, I'm just naturally suspicious, perhaps, but never trust an American when it comes to not rebranding things. Americans are very good at rebranding everything, but at the same time, I mean, I've read the same statements that you have read, and it does sound like we are actually interested in whatever is there in terms of the authenticity of a traditional Austrian club as well. And the members still are there, right? It's not that LAFC is taking over the club.
Exactly. The members are still here. Are still there, and you need the members. You need the members if you want to rebrand our club. So I don't think that the members will do something.
How does LAFC frame it? It's not a takeover, is it? It's a
It's a partnership. It's a partnership.
Will we? I mean, if LAFC is looking to go global and maybe create a system of clubs to cooperate with. But does the same thing apply vice versa? Will we see FC Wacker Innsbruck merch in the US at some point?
I get
to see Wacker Innsbruck at a friendly game here somewhere near me?
Wacker Innsbruck did it before. Let's look into, maybe 2, 3, 4 years from now. Maybe not. Why not?
How is this deal viewed in Austria? And part of the question here is, how is the MLS viewed in Austria as well and by Austrians? It's one thing to have a rich American uncle, but in soccer and football terms, Europe is the grand old continent, and we show the Americans how to play the game normally, right? So how is this cooperation seen?
Well, the cooperation it was a surprise for all, especially because the MLS is not a big issue in Austrian football. Okay, it's Red Bull which is a big Austrian company which funds New York, I think. Am I right?
New York Red Bulls, Brazil Red Bulls, Leipzig,
and a small bunch of Austrian players are in the MLS or were in the MLS. Yeah. But that's all. So Austrian football fans are not so into MLS, but maybe Innsbruck fans or Wacker Innsbruck fans who are all over Austria, maybe they look now.
I'm sure you Googled LAFC. I'm sure you looked up who are these people, who are their fans, what's the history of a club. It's a pretty young history. And on the surface, there isn't much that connects with Wacker. Is there something? What have you found? How do you feel about your cooperation partner and its own identity?
Benny Tran said that's one of the reasons why they have chosen Wacker Innsbruck is the heritage. So maybe they can learn a little bit about heritage from us. They definitely can learn something about player development. And I think, everyone hopes this will be a win-win situation for both partners.
All right. Well, in the immediate future, the hope is to have Wacker Innsbruck back in professional soccer in Austria.
This means minimum 3 years.
Yeah. You'd have to jump over quite a few leagues. The idea would not be to enter a part-time cooperation again with another club to accelerate up more quickly, right? You do want to make it with honest relegation battles and honest ascendance battles.
Well, the other way would also be honest, to be fair. But no. So I don't think that we will cooperate with another club. There are not so many clubs in the region.
Well, there's Wattens, there's Tirol, there's Swarovski. No?
That ship has sailed. That ship has definitely sailed.
In the stadium right now, if I was to attend a Wacker game, would I hear the kind of sentiment I'm getting from you in the active fans as well? You mentioned Wacker has a very strong ultra scene, even though the leading group dissolved earlier this year. But what are the active, those 1,600 people that travel with you to little villages with the club? What are they thinking right now? Similar sentiment to what you are giving us?
Well, they think it's the whole story with LAFC is an opportunity to get to the professional football again. But well, we will see. After our history, three investor picks and and with this story, well, we are really, really down. So what can happen? It can't be worse. So from now on, we hope it will be better. It will be get better, and we hope that we are gain a win-win situation, as I mentioned before.
The whole idea of global partnerships is emerging for more and more clubs. Pick a partner on this continent, on this continent, on this continent. How does this whole dynamic look like from the perspective of a European fan? Does this eventually take away from the unique identity of European clubs? Or would you recommend such cooperations to other clubs as well in order to make the business of soccer more sustainable?
That's an interesting, really interesting question. I think each European football fan thinks the same way. These new developments in football are not our cup of tea, I will say. Every fan of a club hopes that his club can provide his own strength and can do his own thing without any further help. But well, a reality kicks in, and
and we hope it's at least a way for you to keep colors, to keep the name, and to keep the member owned model as well. And right now, of course, everything is pointing to that. If somebody is listening to this podcast right now and thinks, well, I've watched the Premier League on TV, I've followed the MLS, and on my next Europe trip, I'd like to visit Innsbruck and see what this is all about and why in the world a Los Angeles connection might exist. What would they find? What would you recommend they do when they visit Wacker, and what can they expect?
Well, they can expect pretty passionate fans. They can expect a beautiful small town, and they can expect a wonderful environment.
And quite a new stadium too, right?
Ah, not really. The stadium is from 2002, okay, to 2001. So it has its problems. 20 years, you know.
Yeah, it's had this reputation for quite a while because it was used in the European Championships too, isn't it? Of one of the new breed of Austrian stadiums. But yeah, you're right. It really is like 20 years already. Wow.
Yeah, it's 20 years old. Maybe it needs some more color.
Some more black and green, huh?
Black and green, for sure. Yeah. But now it's great. It's really great. Right.
And if you were to look in the future, let's say we talk again in 5 years, what would have had to happen during those 5 years for you to say these were good years for FC Wacker Innsbruck?
Well, I hope we will be back in professional football. I hope we can have a really good partnership with LAFC, in which both sides feel the same way. It was successful, and I hope that FC Wacker Innsbruck will rise again. Let's say it this way.
Wonderful. And I hope you are still there to write about it. Tell us again where we can find your work. I know it's in German, but still.
It's Tivoli12.at.
Tivoli12.at. It's AT. The one fan run media platform for Wacker, right? This is exactly. The only show in town. And the media landscape in Tirol, period, is not particularly large. So this would be the address to go.
Yes, yes, for sure. But maybe in the future we will put it also in English. Let's see.
Maybe you should. Yes, maybe that would be a good language translation as well as a cultural translation of a fascinating and a topsy-turvy history of one of Austria's great traditional football clubs that has now ended up on the horizon and in a partnership with the reigning champion of the MLS. What a story. And certainly having grown up with football in Austria, when I moved to the US for graduate school, I could not have imagined such a thing happening. I mean, I've been to your stadium. I know what the fan base in Innsbruck is like. And the partnership with an MLS club and with Americans, it's not something that would have been on my mind. But times change, interesting things happen. And thank you so much for illuminating for us a little bit what kind of club Wacker is, in what way this might possibly make sense for LAFC as well as for you, of course. And maybe if everything happens the way we could wish for and some true Austrian-American partnership emerges, we'll have you on again and talk about how it's going with the rich American uncle in the club.
Thank you for having me, and good luck for your podcast.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you for your time. Be well, and all the best to Wacker as well. And finally, I can tell you what is next, and it's actually quite a lot. The next week will hold a conversation for me with some professors, American university professors, who actually teach classes about soccer to their students. So these are classes on global soccer and soccer capitalism, on the World Cup, history of the World Cup, things like that. And they're all designed with mostly an American student population in mind. And we talked, and the episode will come out, with questions in mind, such as what do you give students to read? I'm sure there's some good picks for your summer reading list as well. What kind of assignments are people supposed to do on soccer in a university setting? And what is the role of that sport as well to the generation that is now in college? Is it changing? Do they see the ground shifting in the United States a little bit with regard to the game that we all love? That is next. And then the week following, I will actually be traveling to Europe myself. Quite a busy 10 days. I'll be in England and in Sweden for work, for research, for conferencing. But I'll be sure to get some football in there as well. First, I will have a chance to talk to supporters, representatives, leaders of two English clubs that are in the non-league system. So below
the fourth tier of English football. One of them a little bit high up and has dabbled with advancing to league status. Dulwich Hamlet is a South London team that's doing some quite remarkable community work and is a fairly well-known quantity in alternative football circles in England and beyond. And the other one is Clapton Community Football Club. They play quite a bit lower than Dulwich, but also have quite the history, even though it's shorter. It's a community member-owned club as well, with very explicit political goals in their foundation. So while I'm in London, I'll go there, I'll take my microphone, and I'll take you along on the journey as much as I can. In Sweden, I will visit Degerfors IF, which is the, well, probably last remaining labor union tied club in Sweden. They play in the top tier, and they will host Hammarby from Stockholm, one of the three big Stockholm teams that we covered in our Derby episode. So I'll be driving out to Degerfors and speak with some people there as well about the history of their club and the future of small clubs in, well, middle tier European countries. What does going to a match look like there? And what's the appeal of these clubs to a young generation that is now used to Champions League and Premier League, just like all the American listeners of this podcast are. I look forward to that journey, look forward to recording while there, and I look especially forward to sharing the results with you. Thank you for listening today. Be well.